Galaxy and Van City Radio may contain adult content. Listener discretion is advised. You are listening to Sexy and Van City Radio on 101.9 FM, CITR. Welcome to Sexy and Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. Or maybe you could be one of our podcast listeners if you're listening to this long after this is a live podcast, because of course the information in it can be used time in, time out again. You welcome to Sexy in Van City, because it is a gorgeous day. Even though it's September, we're still getting gorgeous weather, and I just love this time of year. It's a really important time just to feel really good, and I think all of us should feel really good 365 days a year, because it's absolutely imperative, because if you feel good, you are sexy, and sexy equals confidence. So tonight's show, I've got a really special guest on who we will be chatting about that. People get raw, they get naked in front of the camera lens, and if there's truth to the fact that a picture is worth a thousand words, I've got the lovely Daphne Chan, who's an amazing photographer, on, who is going to help us in regards to how we can make us feel really, really good. So when we see our photos, we feel good about it. When we go in for a photo session, we feel awesome. And just in general, about, we're going to be chatting about self-esteem. I hope that's not a Freudian slip. And we're going to be talking about self-esteem and our sexuality and how it affects us. And I'm very excited to have Daphne on. Daphne specializes in boudoir photography, both for women as well as for couples. So I'm very excited. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for that wonderful introduction.
You're welcome. I think it's so cool what you do. How did you get into it originally?
Well, originally I'd been asked this before, and they always ask, like, how does one decide to become a fine art nude photographer? And for me, I began doing photography by doing wedding photography, and my brides came to me and said, oh, my 1-year anniversary is coming up, and the symbol for that anniversary is paper, so I can get him tickets to a show, or I was thinking of getting him a photograph. And these were women I'd worked with before, and I decided to take a combination of boudoir, where they're wearing lingerie, and fine art nudes.
Wow. And how, and since you've already established the relationship with them where you'd already built up the trust and they felt comfy, I think it's fantastic where a year later, where those ladies are coming back and asking for you to shoot, and especially with the fine art nude as well as the boudoir as well and lingerie. And for moving forward, because you've evolved your business into boudoir and fine art nudes as well, if somebody is coming to you and it's first time, because you don't do wedding photography anymore at all, do you?
No, I don't.
How is a really great way to get people feeling comfy right from the get-go? Where, cause I think I was telling you in our pre-show chat, I've had people offer sometimes to shoot photos of me, and there's always that bit of me that's a little self-conscious where it's just like, I don't know, maybe if I lose 5 pounds, you know, I might feel a little bit better if I was completely naked, which is funny because I'm comfortable being at Wreck Beach. I'm happy and feel really great when my partner sees me. But just there's something about the lens where sometimes I'm a little bit fearful of it. And I don't know if there's other women like me who when they call you, they'd like to, but they're a little bit apprehensive. Anything that you say to them that makes them kind of put them at ease before when you're doing the chat, before you have them come in for the session?
Well, I think the advice I would offer is that even before I begin a conversation, let's say with you and you're a potential client, is it begins with my online presence, right? So you would go to my website and you would see, how are women being represented on my website? What kinds of women? What kinds of poses? You know, I'd ask myself, does her style of photography match what I'm looking for? And then from there, I offer people to either look at the video that I've done about my work. They can read my blog, so you get a really good sense of what I think, my recent work, the projects I'm working on. And then I offer a phone consultation. And I think it's surprising the intimacy you can establish in maybe a 20-30 minute conversation. Because I ask, the first question I ask is, why do you want to do this?
So whether it's for paper or whether it's like Samantha from Sex and the City, as we were joking about earlier, who wanted it and was so excited when the pizza man noticed that she had a great ass, that she gave him a really awesome tip. Regardless of reasons why, that it's for ourselves. And even if it is for a partner, it comes from ourselves first and foremost.
Yeah, I think the question begins as, you know, what would you like to wear? How do you see yourself? And then as you delve deeper into the conversation, you notice that, you know, I work with a lot of women, what I call in transition.
Okay.
And so sometimes that could be maybe they're out of a relationship, maybe they're into a new relationship with themselves or with a partner. Maybe they've discovered something about themselves. I recently had a client who is celebrating her 40th birthday this year, and this was her 40th birthday gift to herself.
That's a really cool gift for one to give to themselves.
Yeah, and it's an incredible time to do it as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I sort of ask. I mean, really, there's so many reasons, but they all come down to, you know, wanting to be acknowledged and wanting to be recognized and wanting to capture it. And I often have women say, you know, one day I want to look at these images and say, that was me. That was my body. That's who I was.
I think that's really beautiful. And when I hear that, it makes me think I should just do it now. And that was one of the things I know when you and I were chatting earlier, it's true where your response to me was just that, you know, sometimes we have that one thing like, okay, it's 5 pounds or whatever, and that stops us from doing different things, whether it be getting in a relationship, whether it is posing, doing something that we really, really want because we don't feel that we're quite ready or we're not good enough to do it yet.
Often someone will call me and say, I really want to do it, but. And I was like, you know, there's an instinct that compelled you to call me, to email me, to reach out to me, and listen to that, right? Listen to that instinct. And I said, sometimes you need to act on it, because other times after you've acted on it, you may start to give yourself reasons why you should wait. And you were joking earlier that, you know, I should have T-shirts that say, you know, X number of pounds from now, I will. .. And there's so many things in life that we hold ourselves back from, that we have self-limitations, and that we're going to wait because what, we're going to lose 1 inch from our size before giving the gift of photography to ourselves?
Mm-hmm. And that's huge. One of the questions I was going to ask, because you do couple photography as well as for women as well, in terms of our sensitivities and being self-conscious in terms of our bodies, have you noticed a difference in terms of some of the ones between men versus women?
You mean in terms of photographing couples or just men on their own?
Both. In terms of being self-conscious, I like to think that, well, I shouldn't say I like to think, but I do believe that all of us have areas that we're just sensitive about, regardless whether a man or a woman.
Yeah, I think I call them hot spots. You know, there's certain areas of the body where in your mind you perceive them to be less than what you'd like them to be, even though objectively I may look at you and say, what are you talking about?
Mm.
And I'm sure you've had that experience with your girlfriend. Like, oh my God, my arms, I can't go out tonight. Like, what do you mean? So I had a very interesting discussion with a friend of mine, a man, who said to me that he believes that men have the same issues. They're just not as articulate about it.
I believe that very much. So from good guy friends and sometimes from partners where, as I get to know them, they'll share where they're self-conscious of certain parts of their anatomy. So I do believe that.
And, you know, I think initially it's quite easy to dismiss it as vanity, but all of us have a desire to look our best.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever that version of ourself is. So it's not necessarily that we want to look thinner or younger. It's just we want to look as though, I was saying to a friend, we want to look as though that we were, you know, followed by a great hair and makeup team all day, and we just look incredibly fresh, and energized and confident.
And I think that's really beautiful, and especially if you can capture that and on film, I think it's gorgeous. We're going to take a really quick short break. When we come back, what I want to do is just in terms of just some life transformations from camera, and actually from someone growing in regards to when they see themselves photographed. You're listening to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM CITR. We will be right back.
This year on This Fringy Life, life at the Vancouver International Fringe Festival is...
spacey.
Lonely. Sexy.
Untruthful.
Mind-bending.
And over the edge.
Each week, on August 22nd, August 29th, and September 5th, we choose two themes and bring you stories on those themes. Tune in on Wednesdays at 6:30 after the Arts Report for This Fringy Life, brought to you by the Arts Report and distributed by CITR 101.9 Vancouver. Download the podcasts at www.citr.ca.
CITR and Beatroot present Skills for Performing Artists Through Community Engagement, or Space Camp, a free weekend of workshops and panels led by local experts in a variety of indie music-related fields. Featuring keynote speaker Ian McKay and a Saturday night rock show with Calvin Johnson, The Evaporators, New Sensei, and The Bank Dogs. Space Camp runs September 8th and 9th at Chapel Arts, 304 Dunleavy Avenue, and is open to all ages. Admission is by donation, but please register in advance at safeampspacecamp.tumblr.com.
Hi, this is Mikhail Tank. Check out my new show, The Power of Rejection, at the Vancouver Fringe Festival this coming September. For more information, go to vancouverfringe.com and mikhailtank.com.
We are back at Sexy in Van City Radio, 101.9 FM on CITR. And if you're just joining us right now, we're getting naked right now with the lovely Daphne Chan, who is an awesome, awesome, amazing photographer. And so we've been chatting about getting naked in front of the lens and about self-esteem as well. In our chat just before the break, we were chatting about how sometimes we don't do things in life because we're afraid to. We wait for things like losing those, you know, 10 pounds or whatever it is. And Daphne had a question to ask me, which, you know, on just on the commercial break, she asked if it was okay to ask me a couple things on air. And I was like, I don't know how I feel about that. And it's like, yeah, because it's apparently stuff that she hears sometimes from women. So I'm going to let you ask me a question, which is unusual. I get to be interviewed on the show.
Excellent. Thank you for letting me turn the tables for a brief moment.
You're welcome. I don't mind delving into uncomfortability because I'm with you and I trust you, so it's cool.
See? That's how it works. So my question for you is, you'd mentioned in the past you've been asked or you've considered posing for boudoir or fine art nude portraits, mm-hmm. and you hadn't considered it. So my question to you is, why would you consider it now? Like, what would be the sort of psychological shift that would have to happen?
I'd say in terms of the pictures themselves, I'd need to know the photographer. I've had people approach me before where it's friend of a friend, where they want to shoot me for portfolio. So there's that part of me that was concerned in terms of it getting splashed all around. Or giving them to someone who, say, perhaps if it was a now ex-boyfriend, where it would end up all over the internet. And there's that part of me that worries about, I guess, everybody seeing me naked as opposed to it being for a certain special person and my own, you know, for your eyes only kind of thing.
Okay. Well, that's something that I definitely address with every single woman who comes into my studio. And we talk about the issues of privacy, mm-hmm. of confidentiality, and of discretion. So if people actually go to my blog or website, they'll notice that if the person is identifiable, meaning you can see their face, then there's no nudity portrayed. If there is nudity portrayed, they have complete anonymity. meaning they're not tagged, their name is not included, you can't see their face, they don't have any identifying marks on their body like tattoos, and that is the agreement that I make. And I think it's really important to respect that to the utmost degree, because the whole point is to create an atmosphere of trust and intimacy. And once they feel comfortable, then often, you know, women will contact their own social network, and that means their girlfriends will feel comfortable. And a lot of my business comes from word of mouth.
That's a very good thing.
Yeah. So that's definitely a big concern, that the image will end up in the wrong hands, in the wrong place, and portrayed in the wrong manner. And that's something that I address over and over during the consultation and then during the shoot and when they receive their images. And I think that provides a lot of comfort and relief to a lot of people, and kind of says, oh, okay, so now that I know that's safe, maybe I should just go for it.
That makes a lot of sense. I think it's really important to feel that safety, because if there's this parameter set right from the get-go by talking about it, having it on the blog, having that conversation at the get-go about the confidentiality, I think it gives people an opportunity to play then, because the parameters, the boundaries are set, and just creating those wonderful guidelines.
Yeah, and they're set from the very beginning. Some women have a slightly higher comfort level. Like, they might feel comfortable being portrayed, let's say, in a piece of a camisole, a piece of lingerie. And frankly, there are many, many women I photograph who are never portrayed online, because it's an agreement we come to, and they're part of my body of work. But they are not in any, they don't have any online presence at all. Does that address your question?
That does, very much. This one's a question that in regards to, and I'm wondering if you get this question not directly, but from clients in regards to creating parameters when they're giving it as a gift for a partner. In terms of making sure it doesn't get online, other than I think some of the ones you've recommended already are really great for making sure perhaps that their face isn't in the photo and that they are clothed in lingerie if the face is in the picture, if they choose to, and keeping those guidelines as well, perhaps especially for first time giving it to a partner, until you feel that you can trust them at that point.
Well, often they have the option of ordering prints. So those prints perhaps are framed in your home, in your bedroom. So you create those parameters as to who can see those images. And a very popular option is an album. It's quite funny, because I show it to people and it comes in black tissue in a black box. Then it comes with a ribbon, and then there's more tissue, and it comes in a bag. Highest, utmost discretion in even receiving it. And I think that's communicated in just like the album itself. So they can tuck it away and they can pull it out, show it to whomever they want, and then put it away again.
That's fantastic. In regards to women, you mentioned the word transformation in the first part of our interview. Have you seen a lot of evolution for women from when they first come in, where they may not be as comfortable, and then as you work together, where they've actually evolved, where they've told you in terms of how it's affected them in everyday life, where they've been able to take that wonderful connection and intimacy that you've developed in the session, where it's helped evolve them, where they feel more confident, feel better, and where it's been able to affect them in other areas of their life?
Absolutely. I think it's actually one of the most rewarding parts of what I do. So often, they'll come to the studio, they'll be a little nervous, they'll get their hair and makeup done. As we are photographing, I may show them one image on the back of the camera, and they may say, oh my goodness, that's not me. And as the photo shoot goes on, they gain more confidence in their posing, they gain more confidence in the way I'm asking them to move. And then when they come for their viewing session, it can be incredibly emotional, actually. I've had women cry when they see their photos. I've had women grip my knee, swear, oh my God, holy. But one of the most rewarding parts for me is after they leave the studio, after the photos have been taken, is they write to me or sometimes they'll call me and say, you know, that feeling I had in the studio, that I was invincible, that I could be anyone, that I could do anything, that I was so powerful. She said, you know, things have happened at work and they just bounce off me. I'm like Teflon. Things happen and it doesn't matter. And I'm somehow more centered. And, you know, these words are just, they're just incredible.
I love that. I think that's fantastic.
My goal is to bottle that feeling. Yeah, we can all get a good, you know, whiff of it every morning and start the day off. Can you imagine if we started the day off with that amount of self-esteem and carried that throughout our entire day and all our dealings with people and all our relationships?
I think we'd be able to change the world. Very much so.
Yeah, it is incredible to see the transformation that happens from, you know, the initial instinct to wanting to do it, the nervousness. Often women will call me and say, oh, I'm so nervous. And, you know, when I was beginning my career as a photographer, I'd say, oh, don't be nervous. You look great. And now I say, great, be nervous. Bring those nerves. Bring that energy. Because once you, it's almost like the more nervous you are, the more you'll feel when you overcome that, a greater sense of accomplishment.
Now, that makes sense. Sometimes I think nerves, fear is really akin to excitement. It's just a matter of how the brain perceives it. It's almost a cognitive thing because you feel it in the same area of your body.
Yeah. I wish that everyone, but especially women, if we can touch on that, especially women can experience that. Because, you know, we live in a world where how we feel about ourselves is intimately connected to how we feel about our bodies.
Very much so. Very, very much so. What is one of the biggest transformation stories you've seen that you feel that it's not breaking confidence to share on the show?
I used to have a studio in Toronto, and I worked briefly with a therapist who had patients with body dysmorphic disorder.
And for listeners who aren't familiar with what that is, would you be able to explain that really quickly?
For example, it's someone who, perhaps looking in the mirror, perceives usually themselves to be much larger than they are physically in real life.
Okay. So like...
go ahead.
I was going to say, Elm's probably similar family to bulimia and anorexia as well.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So we had a few discussions. He was very interested in the work I was doing. He thought it had a bit of a therapeutic effect. And he sent me some of his patients near the end of their therapy. And one woman, who I'll never forget, had an aversion to mirrors. She said she hadn't seen her image in a mirror for years. She just did everything she could to avoid them. She covered them in her home. She avoided looking in them. And so we had quite an emotional, and it was a fine art nude shoot. And she said afterwards, not that she was, you know, healed, but that she could slowly begin to see where she could go with her self-esteem, that the journey had begun.
That's exciting.
Yeah. And it was so powerful. And beyond that, it was not just like, I feel beautiful or I feel sexy, which are, you know, side effects of seeing a great image of yourself. But it's more that she felt like, oh, this is where I can go. And this is where I can be one day. Because obviously, right, acceptance is the key to self-esteem.
Very much so. And I think if somebody feels they can be seen, and in terms of psychology, there's the Maslow's hierarchy of needs, and it's actually a basic human need to be seen. In terms of to achieve self-actualization. So that's really, really cool.
I completely agree with that. And, you know, that desire to be seen, to be acknowledged, I wish I could communicate to everyone who, you know, would want to come to the studio or has already come that they're already beautiful. That, you know, often they'll say, oh, Daphne, you made me look good. I'm like, no, you're already beautiful. Like, I already see that. I recognize beauty in every single person. And the camera and the photography is just a tool to help you recognize it because I already see it.
I think that's really cool.
Thank you.
You're welcome. No,
I don't know if that sounds too idealistic, but it's happened over and over and over and over.
In terms of that you're passionate about your work and the fact that you can see beauty in each person, I think that is part of your gift in terms of what, how you're able to bring it out as well, because if you can't see it, it's really hard to pull it out.
And it's to make sure that they come to the studio and they realize that it's a safe place and they can be themselves. They're not someone else wearing makeup, hair and makeup. They're themselves. And if they could just show me a tiny slice of who they are in that one moment and just let it shine through their eyes, then I have a fighting chance of capturing an amazing image.
And I think that's fantastic, because I think everybody needs to see themselves. And if they're able to have it captured where you've captured it and they're able to look at that, so whether or not it's when they're 90 years old and they're looking back at who they were at one point, or whether or not it's present day, where framing it in your bedroom where you feel really proud and you can see how beautiful you are, where you're able to take that nice deep inhale at the beginning of the day, see how gorgeous you are, and on in terms of just your soul basically shining out of
Yeah, my oldest client was 73 years old. And she did a fine art nude shoot. And it had to do with just recognizing everything she'd experienced in her life and that she was now in this body, in this time, in this moment, and she wanted that captured.
Wow.
And I was honored to photograph her.
That's amazing. How has this work evolved you? From the time you started, from when it started, from wedding photography, doing it for those clients who had called you up a year after for the paper anniversary, how's it evolved you, like in terms of your journey as an artist and as a photographer slash artist, because you're both?
I think for me the decision came when I decided to move to New York and I returned to school. To art school in my 30s, and I decided that that I would pursue, I would give myself a year to only concentrate on art. And it was an incredible experience, and that's when I began a project specifically on fine art nudes in an environmental way. And I was sent on artist residency in France. And that's when it all really began to take a more fine art aspect. So beyond taking flattering images of women, I started to delve into the other issues and, you know, who are we in society? What are we saying about ourselves? How is body image connected to self-esteem? What's going on in the media? And then all these questions started coming up in my work, and hopefully I've tried to communicate that in the work that I do today.
And to ask you about the project that you're working on right now as well, if that's, if you feel comfortable sharing that with our audience.
Oh, I am. I'm so excited to talk about it. There's a project I'm working on called, I just started it this year, and it's called My Body is a Cage. Hmm. And in this project, I'm trying to explore how female identity and body modification. So in the actual images, you see some binding and you see some compressing. And those are really just physical and compressing, like how we're trying to shift our body image, how we're redistributing our flesh as we try to mold our body image to our desired state.
And I've had a chance to see a couple of them on your iPhone. I can't wait to see it big and where it's being shared with everybody. So, so in terms of that, tell me, paint me a picture in terms of what that looks like and when.
In terms of the images or in terms of what I'd like to do with the images?
What you'd like to do with the images.
Well, I'm actually going to New York in a couple of weeks. Very excited. I'm going to be working with a curator who I actually met in Vancouver, who now has a studio in New York. And I'm going to be giving an artist lecture, probably something similar to this, because whenever you talk about fine art nudes, you end up talking about women, and you end up talking about body image, and you end up talking about self-esteem. So this is a very on topic. And I'm going to be presenting that work. And we're going to apply for a curatorial grant for next year to perhaps show it in a larger space in New York.
That sounds fantastic. I can't wait till you bring it to Vancouver.
I would love to. If you know anyone who would be interested in that. I think it's the kind of work that is a bit more challenging to show. Mm. But once you do, I'm always surprised and elated by how receptive the audience is.
I think so, too. And I want to flash forward that, say, 5 years from now. So you've gotten the grants that you want, and you've been able to show it where it's been able to tour and have community conversations in regards to body image, self-esteem, a woman's place in society, etc. What does that look like?
In terms of, could you be more specific?
In terms of if you could basically wave a magic wand and achieve exactly what you'd like to achieve from it, how would you like it to affect society in regards to those conversations that happen when people come see it? Because people always have those I call them community conversations, where you have the chats about art, etc. And people think about it, and hopefully it starts to evolve society itself.
Well, honestly, it would look very similar to what's happening now. I don't purport to answer any questions. I'm exploring an issue. And if all I do with the work is spark dialogue, that's already an incredible thing to do, especially amongst women, especially amongst women with themselves. And if I can do that, then I would think that it has accomplished some of its goals. Like just even asking yourself, who are you and what do you want to do? And what is this body? I mean, I think the most important thing, as I'm getting older is, learning from other people is you need to develop a relationship with your body. Because when it starts to change, and it will, right, if you're lucky enough to grow old, then you'll see it evolve as opposed to trying to hold on to what society says that you should have.
Very much so. Very, very much so.
What would you hope that it would sort of lead to?
I'd love for those conversations to happen where we explore, which I think there is a movement to recognizing in regards to body image, etc. Films like Misrepresentation that there's been a lot of buzz about. Things like just the YWCA, for example, they're really focusing on women in terms of in the media and how it affects young girls. I'd like for it to change, so hopefully people are more accepting of themselves in terms of who we are, what we look like, and that we feel really good about it, and that starting at an early age, where people are empowered as well, where we can have the conversations about young men and young boys at an early age as well, where it's as a humans, as a species, where we feel better about who we are.
Yeah, one of my goals is I would love to photograph women of any age. A girl on the cusp of womanhood, a woman who's fully into her womanhood, a woman who's perhaps past those years, a more mature woman, and really sort of both represent and reflect that to capture what's going on right now with who we are. And then, especially with young women, I mean, I think I have photographed young women, and sometimes they've brought in their mothers because we do, more of a beautiful, fashionable portrait. But in the end, it's about capturing their relationship, about their togetherness. And that has also been incredibly rewarding.
I can see that. And that would be a beautiful gift, a mother-daughter, which I think would be fantastic. The other one I was going to mention, which I thought was really cool, is about the fact that you do couple photography as well. And I think in terms of just right from the get-go capturing relationships, especially for wedding portraits, right from the beginning of photography, where it's just being able to capture that as well, I think is gorgeous.
Yeah, I think with a wedding photography, what I realize is that it's such a momentous, it's such a huge day, and it's mm-hmm. laden with so much sort of cultural, societal overtones. And it's such a privilege to be invited into someone's life for that one day and be given the responsibility of capturing that. And then after photographing them as a couple and trying to say in a very small way something about their relationship, something about who they are, not as individuals, but together. Who are they as a couple? And that's also very powerful. I don't photograph as many couples as I do women. And I think it's sometimes, often, it's, you know, reluctance on the guy's part.
Okay. So when it does happen, is it usually the woman who initiates? Like where they'll call and book the appointment? Actually, yes, I think we had chatted about this in our pre-show chat, where I was trying to visualize just, yeah, because I think it almost... In many cases, perhaps may need to be the lady, give or take on people's relationships, but where it creates a safer space if the woman initiates.
She always initiates it, just to be clear. And as long as I feel and understand that he's on board in terms of the way she talks about it or their ideas, I'll often try to engage him in the conversation as to what he sees it. And often his response is, I just want to make her happy. And you know what? That's enough.
Wow.
And then we take it from there and we do something that's sort of sometimes a little cheeky, sometimes a little intimate, sometimes a little bit more fine art based. And it really depends on their personality and the mood and on the day of the set and what they want to say.
I think that's pretty cool. In regards to the intimate relationship you create with someone on when they're in the studio, I think that's a beautiful thing. And I think that's a huge, great gift in being able to connect with someone. Is there key things if someone perhaps is in another city and they're listening to this, because sometimes we get listeners from all around the world. Is there anything you'd recommend if they're not able to come to Vancouver or when you're in New York to be photographed directly by you, that you'd recommend in terms of what to look for creating a safe space with the photographer they're looking at getting shots done by?
Yes, the first thing I would advise them to do is to look at the photographer's website, because that website represents them. Mm-hmm. It represents the work they do. And, you know, look at the women that they're photographing. Ask yourself if you yourself are represented in those images. So, for example, let's say you're a more mature woman and you've decided to do this and you go to someone's website. Are you only seeing images of women in their 20s? In their underwear, right? You want to ask yourself, can this photographer represent me? Will this person, male or female, understand me? You know, even in your, I would always advise them to have a phone consultation. You can ask them, what's your philosophy about boudoir and fine art nude photography? And often just by talking on the phone, you'll get a sense of who they are and you'll get a sense of whether you'd be comfortable with them. The other thing is much more practical, is look at the contract. Figure out what are the parameters of this professional relationship. You know, address those issues of privacy and confidentiality. Ask those questions. And then once you've decided that you're going to hire this photographer, then what I often do is usually the day or 2 days before is I'll send them an email and we'll have another conversation about how to prepare for this. Both physically and psychologically. So in terms of physically, I would say, you know, to have your skin looking at its best, drink lots of water. I know that sounds so basic, but drink lots of water. Try to avoid salt the night before. You know, even like put some moisturizer on. Get some fresh air. All these basic things. And oh, what I would also say, if you plan to get groomed the way you normally would, if you're already planning for a haircut, or some highlights, you know, or a manicure or a pedicure, get those done before the shoot. You know, the more that you prepare for it, the more that you'll be invested in the photos, and then the happier you'll be with them.
And that makes sense. And I think in regards to, especially with hair or baking, making sure you do it a little bit in advance in terms of if you're cutting and it's something different, so you have that opportunity to be comfortable with yourself. Because ideally, you want to feel the very best you can.
Yeah, and psychologically, I would say it's perfect. I always tell women, it's perfectly normal to feel, what am I doing the night before? And just lie in bed and go, oh my God, what have I done? And yet, because we've gone through the process of talking about it, and I've told them that's going to happen when it happens, it's like, oh yeah, she told me that would happen. Okay, those are the self-critic is talking. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Self-critic is saying, who are you to have those photos taken? The self-critic is saying, oh, wow, you think there's going to be great images? And then it's like it's not to ignore those images, to messages. It's to listen, acknowledge them, and say, all right, thank you. Thank you for calling. My people will call you. I'm going to the photo shoot. And then they come, and the advice, I always give two pieces of advice, and then that's it for the rest of the shoot. I say, let go. Give yourself permission to let go. And more importantly, have fun. And we just laugh throughout the entire photo shoot. Because actually, you know, there is a bit of that sense of silliness. And I tried to turn it into playfulness because, you know, it's an experience. Why not enjoy it fully as opposed to, oh, let me get through it.
That's very true. Because, and especially with the camera, too, because it does pick up everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, I think that's awesome. We are going to take a really quick short break. And when we get back, we are going to be chatting more. You're listening to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. We will be right back.
Shinerama is Canada's largest post-secondary fundraiser, raising funds for cystic fibrosis research. Join us for our main event, Shine Day, which is Saturday, September 8th, beginning at 9:30 a.m. at the Sub Ballroom on UBC campus. Join us in the streets of Vancouver, shining shoes, singing, dancing, or simply asking for donations for Cystic Fibrosis Canada. To get involved, contact us at shinerama@ams.ubc.ca or search for Shinerama UBC on Facebook and Twitter. Sponsored by CITR 101.9 FM.
Stylize your room this semester with Bed Bath & Beyond at UBC Bookstore starting August 10th, as well as a great selection of supplies and technology. Don't forget to pick up some tasty snacks and fresh local salads in their new convenience store. Located at the corner of East Mall and University Boulevard, UBC Bookstore, where your purchases support UBC campus.
Distance between Vancouver and Buenos Aires, 11,000 kilometers. From August 31st to September 9, the Vancouver Latin American Film Festival will bring Buenos Aires right at home. www.vlaff.org.
Hi, this is Mikhail Tank. Check out my new show, The Power of Rejection, at the Vancouver Fringe Festival this coming September. For more information, go to vancouverfringe.com and mikhailtank.com.
And we are back at Sexy in Van City Radio, 101.9 FM on CITR. If you're just joining us, we've been getting naked tonight with the lovely, the sexy, the wonderful, absolutely engaging and sincere and truly talented photographer. She's amazing. And we've been having some really, really wonderful, great talks. So I encourage you, if you are just tuning in now, to go back and listen to the podcast after the show, because it is rocking. And Daphne, thank you so much for being on the show. And so one of the things we were chatting about on the break is we want to encourage listeners out there, if you're thinking this would be really cool to book a shoot, and that just do it. Don't wait until tomorrow where you may feel like, okay, you know, I've got to wait for those next 10 pounds to get off before I do it. Just actually do something, regard what it is, whatever it is in life, just jump, do it. And because, I mean, if you're not living, you're dying, right? So might as well do the things that you want to do. And if this is something that it really hits you, where you want to actually capture the essence of how gorgeous you are and actually really feel that. And as Daphne said earlier in the show, being able to bottle that and feeling that every single day, it'd make the world such an amazing place. And I'm really, really excited and grateful, Daphne, that you're doing the work that you're doing.
Thank you so much for having me tonight. It was such a wonderful conversation. I would encourage people, particularly women, that if you have a small, compelling instinct that is saying, oh, maybe this is something I'd consider, you know, whether you live in Vancouver or another city, is to listen to that. Because obviously there's a part of you that yearns for it. Mm. And, you know, seize the moment. Make the contact before your inner critic can say, oh, why would you do that? And it's really like a metaphor for other things in your life, whether it's, you know, booking a photo session, whether it's making that phone call, whether it's, you know, flirting with that guy you've had your eye on. And it really is just taking a chance with yourself and taking that risk. You know, there is a saying that says jump and the net will meet you. And I think that's a very apt metaphor, because often when you set that intention to do things with your life, things will unexpectedly come into your life to meet those needs once you've expressed them and you've been clear about your intentions.
I found that to be true in so many, so many areas of my life. So I thank you. And I want to encourage everybody out there, and even me, where I think I just may have to give you a call myself.
So. But I'm looking forward to that.
I think you already figured that one out, though, but that's a whole other conversation that we'll have off air.
And I just wanted to let your listeners know that the best way to reach me is through my blog, and they can reach me at DaphneChenBlog.com. And on the blog, there's a link to my website. My phone number's there. You can reach me on Twitter or Facebook, or a phone number. Just pick up the phone tomorrow, and if you decide you want to talk about it and you want to have a conversation with me and you want to ask me any questions, just go ahead and do it.
I think that sounds awesome. And just out of curiosity, what is your Twitter handle?
I'm at Daphne Chan.
At Daphne. Oh, that's easy. Okay.
And on Facebook, I'm Daphne Chen, and perfect. Daphne Chen Photography. So, no, very simple.
No excuses. And if someone's listening to this and they're in New York, are you going to be checking everything while you're in New York as well? So in case they want to book with you, and will you have access to studio space there?
I will be living in a studio while I'm there. Actually,
that's awesome.
Mm-hmm. I'm there for 2 weeks. I have a few models booked. The other thing I wanted to encourage your listeners to do is, if you're interested in participating in the My Body is a Cage project, I'm always looking for models. And when I use the word models, I don't mean, you know, what we perceive to be a model. I mean someone who's willing to sit for me as an artist, as a muse, and let's create something.
And just out of curiosity, for someone, if they did decide to sit for you as a muse, is it literally, and I'm just going to ask, because is it kind of like where you actually have to sit still? I've always visioned, if you're going to pose for somebody, that you have to hold something for hours on end. Or is it different with photography?
Thankfully, I'm a photographer. And thankfully, with the advent of advanced digital photography, you don't have to hold poses for half an hour. But I will tell you that I do ask for people to sometimes be in uncomfortable positions to portray a certain movement or mood. And then when they see their photos, they're like, oh, that's why you're asking me to kick my hip out until it hurts. They're like, oh, yes, this method to her madness.
I love that. That's awesome. So you've got exciting times coming up. So you're going to be shooting more people. You're also going to be going to New York. And what else is next for you in the next year?
Well, what's coming up is I'm going to Toronto to do some marathon boudoir sessions. So if you have any listeners who are in Toronto or planning to be on October, I believe, 20th and the 21st, I have 2 days in a studio, and there are a few spots still available. And we'll be doing sort of more fashion-inspired portraits and boudoir. And then separately, if, again, you're interested in modeling for the My Body is a Cage project, I'm making special arrangements to have a studio for that as well.
Wow. No, I think that's fantastic. So you're going to end up with women from New York, from Toronto, Vancouver.
I'm also in Montreal on Tuesday.
Oh,
so,
my goodness. Yeah. May I call you my jet-setting friend now? Or
no.
No?
Actually, no. although I was in Chicago recently, and it sounds so funny because I sent a text to my husband. I said, I convinced a woman to come back to the bedroom with me, and we're going to do a shoot. He was like, yeah, yeah, he's so mean to it. He's like, what else is new? You know, I'm like, I'm so excited photographically.
Were you with your husband when you started, when you evolved from doing wedding photography to a boudoir and fine art nudes?
Yes, yes. He's been there since the beginning of the journey, actually.
Wow. So what would you recommend to our listeners out there in terms of being able to connect and develop long-term relationships? Because sometimes one of the things I hear is, hey, there's no one to date in Vancouver, which I believe that's a fallacy, because I think there are people, if it's the right person to date, you just have to have your eyes open sometimes. And it may take a while, but to find the right one. But it's possible. But there's a lot of people who don't believe there's such thing as long-term relationships anymore. And maybe call me a romantic, but I really do believe that there are such things. And
I think all my advice stems from, you know, being in a relationship with one person. So take that with a grain of salt. I think it sounds counterintuitive, but if you want to develop a great relationship with other people, it's to develop one with yourself.
Well put. I think that's awesome. And I want you to plug your website just one more time before we wrap up the show, if that's okay. And just encouraging everybody.
So people can reach me on my blog at DaphneChanBlog.com, and that will take them to my website at DaphneChan.com.
That sounds perfect. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you. That was so much fun.
Yay! And you thought we couldn't do an hour.
What am I going to talk about for an hour?
And I think you've done a very, very wonderful job. And I think our listeners will agree. And up next, it's Hans von Klaus's Misery Hour. He is a very sexy man to be miserable with. He will be guiding you through the wee hours with his ambient music and his super hot voice. You've been listening to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. We will be back next week at the sexy hour of 10 o'clock. Have a wonderful night, everyone, and shine, be good, be true, and go and check out Daphne Chan's work, Daphne Chan Photography. Have a great night, everyone. Bye-bye.